All of you are carrying in your wallet, I would assume, a saying that has become the model of the United States. In God we trust. These words are found on our current currency. In God we trust. They were adopted as the official motto of the United States in 1956. That was to replace the unofficial motto of E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Was adopted, that E Pluribus Unum was adopted when the Great Seal of the United States was crafted in 1782. In God We Trust first appeared on U.S. coins in 1864, right around the time of the Civil War, and has appeared on paper currency since 1957. A law was passed in a joint resolution of the 84th Congress, and it was approved by President Dwight Eisenhower on July the 30th, 1956, declared to the world, in God we trust. Now, that wasn't Baal, it wasn't Buddha, it wasn't Mohammed, it was in God Jehovah.
Amen.
And that's the God.
Amen.
That was in the motto when it was passed and signed by President Eisenhower. The first paper currency bearing the motto entered circulation October the 1st, 1957. Our money may have it stamped on it, in God we trust. But my question this morning is, does our hearts have the motto, in God we trust, stamped on them? It's one thing to say we trust God, and then it is another thing to actually trust Him. My scripture this morning is a favorite of mine. I quote it often. King Solomon, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Brother Eric, would you pray for us this morning?
Father God, indeed we want to acknowledge you this morning. We want to acknowledge that we are gathered here in your name. We acknowledge that you said that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst.
Yes.
We do indeed acknowledge you. We acknowledge your presence, Lord, most of all. We acknowledge your activity in our lives. In everything, Lord, in every blessing we have, you are behind it, Lord. Just ask your blessing on the word this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and we would be closer to you. We ask these in the name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. Amen.
Amen. Stories told, a man was out jogging, and he got a little bit too close to a cliff, and he fell off. On the way down, he grabbed a limb that was hanging out, And he began to scream, "Help! Help! Is there anyone up there that can hear me?" He yelled for hours. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. "Can you hear me?" "Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you. Are you all right?" "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" "I'm the Lord and I'm everywhere." "The Lord, you mean God?" "That's me." "God help me. I promise that if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be really a good person and I'll serve you the rest of my life." "Easy on the promises, son. First let's get you down, then we can discuss those." "I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do, okay?" "Okay, let go of the branch." "What?" "I said let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go." Long pause. "Help! Help! Is there anybody else up there?" Sometimes how we trust God, isn't it? I can give you a lot of reasons why we need to trust God, but our text just nails it right on the head. King Solomon tells us the main reason why we trust God is when we trust Him, He guides us. How many of us need direction at times?
Amen.
Guidance. Our part is to do the trusting. His part is to do the guiding. We are not to take over His part.
Amen.
We're only to do the trusting.
Amen. Yes.
You see, when we trust in God, it will make a huge difference in your life. So this morning, let me give you three things that will help us to put our trust in God. Number one, we need to be confident in God's care. We need to be confident that He does care. Notice the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Now this word trust in the Hebrew means to put all your weight on it. How many of you, above your bed, you have a rope or some attachments to the ceiling that when you go to bed, you want to make sure the bed doesn't fall down with you? Anybody? No. Why? Because you trust your bed to hold all your weight. Now some of the kids, they'll go jump on the bed. That's really trust. I'm telling you what. They know that when they hit that bed, now there's some of us a little bit like us, we fall in the bed. Do any of you, when you go to bed, do you kind of test it out first and make sure it's stable? No, you trust it. You put your weight on it. That's the same meaning of the word here, to trust, putting your weight on God. When you put your trust in God, you put your weight on Him. And that is why God says in the text, with all your heart. You either give Him all your trust or you give Him none at all. one way or the other. Half-hearted trust is like wholehearted doubt.
Amen. Right.
If you don't really trust Him, then you really doubt Him. And so Solomon is really dealing with some weighty things here. We need to ask ourselves why you don't give all of your complete trust in God. Ask yourself, has He ever given you a reason not to trust Him? Scripture further says here, Solomon further says, and lean not on your own understanding. If you put what you think ahead of what God thinks, then you will be living in the darkness and not in the light. If you have it all figured out ahead of time and you're going to go ahead of God, then what's the need to ask God and His light, His understanding to come by? So you have to ask yourself, am I going to trust God or am I going to lean on my own understanding? A couple instances in Bible I want to show how this works. You remember there was a young lad. He went into town. His daddy sent him into town to see his big brothers who were in the army. And when he got to town, he heard this great big fellow, 9 feet 9 inches tall, coming out from the other army, and he was bellowing across the way at the Israelis, "Send me a man to fight. And if I whip him and kill him, then you will be the servants of the Philistines. But if he kills me, then we will be your servants." Saul wouldn't go, king of Israel. All the rest of the big strapping soldiers with their armor on wouldn't go. And here comes little David, teenage boy, into town, and he hears this fellow bellering, and he says, "Nobody's going. What's wrong?" Finally, you know what he said? I'll go. Saul takes his armor off. Now Saul is head and shoulders above everybody else. But he takes his armor off, and here's this little teenage lad. Well, you know, most teenage lads today are bigger than I am because of McDonald's and Burger King. But anyhow, Saul tries to fit his armor on little David, and head's not working. It's too big. David said, "I can't wear this." And if I'm thinking like Saul must have been thinking, he must have been thinking, "Well, we'll find some around here that's your size and we'll put it on you and you can go out and fight this giant of a man." David says, "Look, Saul, I can't even walk in this, so I'm sure that I can't use it." But David said to him, he said, "I don't need them. I trust in God." Hallelujah. "Who killed the lion and the bear to protect me more than I do in your fancy armor." I wonder if times we don't try everything else before we trust in God. So David went out, chose 5 smooth stones. You know the story. And he took his sling to go out and face this giant. Took 1 stone, remember? But before he got into the actual confrontation, Goliath laughed at him. Remember that story? And said, "What am I that you send this little young fellow out here to fight me?" He said, "I'll kill him and feed him to the birds." Listen to what David had to say in response to the giant. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. "The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." See this young fellow standing out there between the two armies, facing a 9 foot tall giant of a man, and he's going to fight him with a slingshot? Who are you kidding? "I'm coming in the name of the Lord," he said. "I'm trusting in God." Was David leaning to his own understanding? Was David leaning on the understanding of mankind? They had already tried their own understanding and it didn't work. And David said, "I'm going to trust the Lord." David said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Hallelujah. "This very day I will give the carcasses." He said, "Not only you, Goliath, I'll cut your head, but not only you, I'm going to give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yes.
Is that the kind of trust we have in God when we're facing our enemies? Is that the kind of trust we have in God when we're in the midst of our battles of life? Are we trying to figure it out? Are we trying to have understanding of our own and how to deal with this? Or are we simply facing that battle and saying, "I'm trusting God to get me through"? Another one. There was a fellow by the name of Noah. God told him to build a boat. Not just a little one you could paddle. If you set it down on our church lot, it would reach from the road, Jefferson Boulevard, clear back to Auburn Drive. Be about 70 feet tall. Set this church on its end. That's how tall it would be. Huge boat. God told him to build it. Can you imagine how the neighbors mocked him? Took him years. Years to build it. First he had to convince his wife. Y'all heard this morning, Mom said, "Do whatever you want." He had to convince Sister Noah. And then he had three boys and their wives. I can imagine Ham, Sam, and Japheth going to their cottage at night after Dad had told them that God told him to build a boat. And they tell their wives, "Dad's going to start building a boat." "What's a boat?" "Never had one before." "Going to build a big boat." "Oh, you are? Is that where you're going to spend your time now? Building a boat?" All the neighbors, year after year, Moses or Noah is gathering the gopher wood and he's bringing it, he's shaping it, he's building this huge boat. Nobody understood what he was doing. He had simple trust in God. He didn't try to figure out how he was going to float it. Figure out how the water was coming. All God told him was build the boat. What did he do? He trusted God and he built the boat. God did the rest. Amen. Who floated it? God sent the rain. Rain for 40 days and 40. We're complaining about rain around here. How'd you like it rain? I mean pour hard for 40 days and 40 nights. Floated that boat and Noah simply put his trust in God. God, he didn't try to understand it all. Then there's one more. I want you to see this trust in God. Can you imagine the thoughts of Joshua's army? The battle plan to destroy Jericho? Here's the city of Jericho. They're just coming across the Jordan River. First city to take is Jericho. Big, tall walls, thick walls, well fortified. Kings inside, plenty of soldiers to protect the city walls. And Joshua gets together with his captains of the army. And here's what Joshua tells him that God told him to do. Walk around the city one time every day. Don't say a word. Second day, walk around again. Walk around that city one time every day for 6 days. Get them right here. 6 days. I can imagine the captain. What kind of a battle plan is that? Shouldn't we get together here and start building some kind of a ramp? Let's get busy building some of those things that throw big hay bales up over the wall that we can set on fire. We need a strategy here, Joshua. Joshua said, nope. Got it covered. God told me what to do. And then the seventh day, we're supposed to walk around that wall 7 times. And when we finish the 7th time, we're all supposed to blow the trumpets and shout, hallelujah! Oh, I could imagine some of the captains say, yeah. Can you imagine the army standing out on top of the wall looking down on the armies of Israel? And they're walking around one time every day. There they go again. Wow, boy, some army, boy, they're ready to really fight, aren't they? Look at them. Nothing. They don't have anything. They don't have any ramparts. They don't have anything to break the doors down. What kind of an army is this? By Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're standing up there, you know, drinking from their flask, and they're having a party, and they're looking down on the armies of Israel. There they go, one more time, walking around. Whoa! Hey, they didn't stop today. They're going around the 2nd time. Look at this. We got to pray. People came up on the walls. What kind of an army is this? Hey, they've been around 6 times, and they're going the 7th time. Hey, boy, they're really doing it today. There's some army. Watch them. But when they made that last step, hallelujah, and they started to blow the trumpets, the armies of Jericho began to feel a quaking. Hallelujah. And the walls began to come down. And the Bible says they fell down flat. And the children of Israel could walk right in. That's by trusting God.
Amen.
And not leaning on understanding.
Amen.
That is what King Solomon, the wisest person to live outside of Jesus, is telling us to do. Trust in God. Don't lean on what you think is best. Just obey Him and do as He says. Amen?
Amen?
There might be times in our lives that we don't make sense, that it doesn't make sense, and we don't understand, but we must simply trust God. All right, I know what you're saying now. That means you have to be committed. That's the 2nd point. Committed to God's purpose. You notice what he said here? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Him. Now that's a little more than just reading your Bible and praying. Amen? Heard about a little boy. Had an older brother that got a brand new bicycle. Little brother was intrigued by this brand new bicycle. And he said to his older brother, he said, how did you get your new bike? He said, well, I prayed for it and God gave it to me. Then he told his little brother, he said, now If you want a new bike, you'll have to do what I did. You do the same thing. Pray for it. God will give it to you. Little boy walked away and he thought about this, and then he came back to his big brother and he said, "You know, I think what you should do is you give me your bike, since you're good at praying, and you can go pray for another one." The Hebrew word here for acknowledge means to see Him. So in everything, we need to look for His guidance. Whether it's going to vacation or our vocation, whether it is when we are praying or playing, acknowledge Him. Is there anything wrong with that? Seeing Him involved. If we can't take Him along in whatever we're doing, then maybe we ought not to be doing it. Always keep God in mind. Always means in your marriage and your family. It means to see Him in your recreation and your vocation, your work. Always means to see Him in your finances. It means from the time you get out of bed all through the day, you look for God. God, I need You with me. God, I want You with me. God, I don't want to be anywhere, anytime throughout the day where I don't have You to acknowledge in my life. Sometimes we get confused about bringing the little things to God. We think that He's only interested in the big decisions of life. A lady came to her pastor and asked him if he as a pastor thought that God would want to be involved in the little things in her life. And pastor replied, "Do you really think that God thinks that anything that you go through is big to Him? How many believe God can handle anything?" Amen. Anything. There's nothing small, there's nothing big. And the biggest thing that you think that you have in your life, is that big to God? I mean, God made the universe. I mean, God made the earth that we stand on. It's good to have Brother John and Nancy back from vacation. They were out west seeing some of the great things that God has created and made. And he was sharing with me, it's amazing how, you know, people say, well, it took millions of years for all of this to happen. God made it all. If He wants to change the course of a stream in a night, He can do it. If He wants to make a new mountain in a few days, He can do it. And we think God is not interested in our situations. He can handle it, friend. Here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to sign a blank contract. Huh? And then let Him fill in the blanks. When you bought your house, when you bought your car, when you do a contract with anybody, do you just say, "Well, you fill it all out and I'll sign it"? No, you sit there and you read it, and even though you don't understand it all, you read it and shake your head and acknowledge, yeah, and then you sign it. I'm telling you, God says you trust in Me and give Me your life. I will fill in the blanks for you. That's always looking and acknowledging Him. When we started Emmanuel Chapel, we didn't have a steering committee to say, "Now, we need to have so much money to get started. We've got to have a piece of land right now. We've got to buy a church someplace, you know, one or..." this or that or the other. We didn't even think about how we were going to evangelize the community. We just, God said, start a church. And so a handful of us got together and we started a church. We started preaching. We started, you know, trusting the Lord. Acknowledging Him. Trusting Him to take care of things. We met all different kinds of places. You know where Rocky's Pizza is? That storefront up the way that used to be a drugstore. It closed down. We rented it and had church in there. We used to have church in the Seventh-day Adventist school down at Mount Etna. We had church in the town hall of Smithsburg. We had church in the Whitehall Community Center. We had church all around. Wherever went, God opened the doors. Brother Wolf, you were there. Some of the Red Brother, Sister Early was there. And many of the Sister Miller and Sister Ellen was there. You understand and know where we were at and how God took care of things. We just trusted Him, and guess what? He provided the way. He opened the door. You see, controlled by God's will. That's the third point. Let God lead. Let Him direct. Let Him direct your path. You do your part by bringing things to Him, and He will do His part, which is directing your path. That's what He said He would do. This is a conditional promise. He will not force you against your right to decisions, to make the right decisions. He created us with free will. We bring it to Him, and then He, in His own time, not our time, will direct us. Amen?
Amen.
How many people mess up their lives by making their own decisions? Hello? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I think this is what I need to do. Instead of ever asking God, we just bring it to the Lord like Noah did with building the boat. Lord, You provide, and God opened the doors, and eventually the boat was built and it floated. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go.
Hallelujah.
That's why we need to be spending time with Him. That's why we need to be spending time with the Lord, looking for His direction and His guidance. You see that bumper sticker on a lot of cars? God is my co-pilot. God doesn't like that. He doesn't want to be a co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. Amen? He might put you in first class, but He wants to run the plane. Amen? He wants to run the train or whatever it is. And we need to be willing to yield to Him. Oh, last of all, how do we know what God is leading us to do? Number one is right here in the book. In order to know God's will, you need to know the book. You need to open it up. You need to study. You need to read it. You need to know what it's about. Secondly, through godly people. Listen to what the Word says. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Get among godly people. Talk to godly people who let God run their lives, and you'll feel and know the sense of what God's will is. The Hebrew word for direct here means cutting a highway, clearing a path. God will open the doors and He will close the doors. God is saying, I'll be the fullback and I'll make the path. You just follow Me. Amen? How many of you are ready to follow the Lord and trust Him with all your heart? Not leaning to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging Him. Would you stand with me this morning? You're committed. You're saying, I'm giving God the right of way. I've got the contract with God. He can fill in the blanks. I'm going to put my weight upon Him. I will trust Him. I will acknowledge Him. I will seek Him for His will and His purpose. I'm looking to God like David did fighting Goliath. I'm looking to God like Noah did in building the boat. And I'm looking to God without understanding as Joshua did in fighting against Jericho. I will trust in Him rather than in me. And with that note, would you come? Would you gather around this altar for a season of prayer? This is learning to trust Him. This is saying, God, I will put my faith in You. Come on, saints. You want to have some time just to talk to the Lord? If you can't kneel at the altar, come sit in the front row. But come and talk to Jesus. Talk to the Lord.